How About Them Podcast with Landon McCool.
How about them Cowboys indeed?
Hello, welcome back to another episode of the How About Them Podcast. I am your host, Landon McCool, and we're going to have John Owning in this week to discuss some Cowboys visitors. He did an article that came out this week. It was ranking the defensive ends who are official visits for the Dallas Cowboys. So he ranked it all six of the listed defensive ends that have been announced as Cowboys visitors. And so we're going to talk about that article and get him to expound a little bit upon it. And maybe I'll throw in another name or two in there and kind of discuss those as well. So let's get right into it. All right, as promised, here's John Owning from FanRag Sports, my editor, my good friend, and our guru, our guide on the ranking of these Cowboys edge defenders. John, welcome. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. How about yourself, Landon?
Good. You know, we're getting closer and closer. We're starting to hear more and more of the BS from the agents and the talk about so-and-so is going top 10. You know, we joke about this every year. Like, this is the time when there's, like, up to 50 people going in the top 25 picks. So it's always funny, like, just to kind of see the level of hot takes that we get, you know, these last few weeks are always quite fun. So it's been fun doing that. But we're going to talk about some solid info about the Cowboys visitors. So these are guys, just to confirm, and if you, again, as I mentioned up front, John just wrote this article. It came out yesterday, John? Monday?
Sure, yes, sir, on Monday.
So the 10th, it just released an article about ranking the Cowboys visitors, that known visitors at the defensive end position. And so we wanted to discuss that because, first of all, I like your rankings. Second of all, you know, I think there's some discussion here because I still don't see it with some of these guys, and I'm hoping that you can provide your expertise here on some of these guys. So let's start up top. So, you know, number one, and again, these are just guys that we know are known visitors for the Cowboys, 30 visits that are coming in. And up top, you've got T.J. Watt, who, you know what's interesting about T.J. Watt is that it feels like he's taking a lot of water on right now because it's so funny. Like, he is actually getting negative benefit, I feel like, at times because of who his brother is. You know, it's almost like he gets dismissed as a prospect because everyone who thinks that you like T.J. Watt is because you like T.J. Watt because he's J.J. Watt's brother, as opposed to what you see on tape. So it's pretty, you know, obviously this is a good list of guys, and to put T.J. at the top, you clearly have some empirical evidence. So please present it here to me, John. What is it that you love about T.J. Watt? How do you see him fitting with the Cowboys? And give me your case for T.J. Watt over the rest of these guys.
Well, obviously the first thing you love with T.J. Watt is his athleticism. I mean, he tested into the 94th percentile among edge defenders, according to, you know, Spark and all those type of metrics. So that's the first thing you like. You like that he has the baseline athleticism required to be an elite edge defender, to be elite pass rusher in the NFL. Then when you turn on his film is actually when a lot of the difficult parts of his evaluation comes in, because at Wisconsin, he was played as a 3-4 outside linebacker who was a very big portion. I think, like, what was it, like 20-something percent of the time he was dropping into coverage on pass plays. And then on top of that, he had a lot of his rushes, he was used on stunts with interior defenders in Wisconsin's odd front. So when you take away all those snaps, it is very hard and monotonous to isolate Watt's true pass rush snaps, the snaps where he just gets to pin his ear backs and go like he would on a team like the Cowboys, a team that one gaps and just sends their edge defenders upfield to try to get after the quarterback. And when he does that, he shows a lot of really, really enticing traits and intriguing traits that make me believe that he's going to be a very good edge defender in the NFL. I mean, he has the get off right away. When he can pin his ears back, his initial quickness is very, very, very good. So then after that, he has the length. He can use his hands. He has good, as raw as he is as a pass rusher, he still has good hand placement with his pass rush. He knows where to put his hands to create leverage, to lift and drive. He has that really, really, really good double hand swipe that he uses to clear hands and soften the edge where he can use his flexibility and speed to turn the corner. In the run, he's really, really good backside pursuit. I know it's something that you, I think maybe Ikes has talked about it a lot. You really, really see his athleticism on those backside pursuit plays. And every time I see him screaming off the edge on backside pursuit, it reminds me of DeMarcus Ware. Not because he's the same type of player as DeMarcus Ware, but because DeMarcus Ware did those similar types of things on the football field.
Yeah, I love his hand strength too. I mean, for you said it, like, for a guy that's not very developed as far as many aspects of his technique, he comes ready made with strong hands, and that's something that's, you know, like, really important for a defensive lineman, even for a guy that's you know, coming around the edge like a right defensive end would in the Cowboy scheme. I think that's really helpful. And again, to kind of go back to your point. You know, he did do a lot of stunts, and I think, you know, that's a positive in my book. Like, one of the things I saw a lot that I loved a lot about him early on is you do see him get inside on those stunts really, really fast. And and then once he gets there, interior linemen don't really seem to have a chance. Like, he just gets past them with speed or with, you know, dismissing their hands with his handwork. But he has really, really good lateral agility, and I think that shows up in his stunts. And the Cowboys do a lot of that, so that is something that can directly translate. So that's one of the few things about Watt's tape that is a pretty straightforward translation to what he will be doing as far as a defensive end for the Cowboys.
Yeah, and on top of that, he's the type of guy that he's monitoring how many hours of sleep he's getting. He's monitoring every single piece of food that he puts in his body. And you don't think that kind of guy is going to be the type of guy that's going to work and develop his craft to be better, to develop, to become a player that he's not there yet to reach his ceiling? I'm going to bet on that guy every day.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that TJ is the youngest of of four brothers, right? Is it three or four? I can't remember. But okay, well, there's another brother as well who's in the NFL right now. And like, he didn't get this same hype as well because he was a Watt, you know? And I mean, T.J. Watt was a second or third team All-American. He had 11.5 sacks last year, you know? Like, he produced on the field in a conference where, you know, football is played. And you know, I just, it's crazy to me at times, like, the level of dismissal that people have of this guy when he has production and athletic traits to back it up. So I feel like it's kind of crazy how, you know, some people get pushed up by their family name a little bit, but we can't even allow TJ Watt that a little bit at all, really, you know? So, second on your list is a guy that is really high on a lot of people's mock draft boards, and that's Barnett, Derek Barnett from the University of Tennessee. All-time sack leader for a prestigious school like Tennessee. Tell me about Barnett and you know, why do you have him beneath Watt, and where do you think he wins, and how is that going to translate to the Cowboys?
Well, for Derek Watt, Derek Barnett.
Wow, you mix them together into an amazing. If only we could do that. If only we could mix those two guys together. That'd be pretty amazing.
Ultimate edge prospect.
Yeah.
But unlike Watt, whose first year projection isn't super high, his ceiling, his rookie year isn't going to be a defensive rookie of the year type of ceiling. Derek Barnett has the ability to step in right away day one and contribute. I mean, his ability to bend the edge is ready right now to beat some average to below average tackles in the NFL, which there are a ton of right now. Barnett is going to be able to produce immediately in the NFL. Now, how high is his ceiling? I'm not really sure. I don't think it's that high in comparison with guys like TJ Watt, you know, Derek Rivers, Carl Lawson, those type of guys. But he has that incredible ability to reduce his surface area off the edge, dip his shoulder, create steep angles with his hips, knees, and ankles, and really sharpen that corner around the edge and to reduce the amount of steps it takes for him to get to the quarterback. He is really, really, really good at that. Problem is, he doesn't really have that much. He flashes the ability to do a quick inside move with a quick swim, but he doesn't have the developed hands that you would expect from a player with his type of production. He's mainly a guy who's going to always just keep sprinting around the edge. And then eventually he's going to time that snap perfectly, and he's going to get that jump that allows him to get to the edge of that tackle, and he's going to finish. a majority of the time. And also another problem with him is he's not that great of a run defender at the point of attack. He's very good at winning fast with initial hands, initial pop, initial disruption and destruction, but he doesn't – he's not the type of guy that's going to hold – set the edge and hold his point of attack, you know, keep his outside shoulder clean, then cross the face and make the tackle. He's not that type of a guy.
It's funny because, you know, you start seeing some of these mock drafts and people start talking about, okay, well, who's going to be the faller? Like, who's the guy this year that is projected to go high that could fall? And a lot of people see Barnett as that guy. And a lot of it has to do with, I think, the fact that, you know, from very early on, just because of his production and where he comes from, you know, he's just been associated with the top half of the first round, and you watch his tape and you're right, like you see the bend, you're like, okay, that's definitely going to just translate right away, and that's, you know, what I mean, he has the bend that everyone is talking about that wants, you know, that lower body flexibility in order to get around the corner. The problem is that he's like the opposite of all the rest of a lot of these rushers, where he has the bend, but he doesn't have the explosion, which is why, I mean, you see him, you know, trying to time snaps, and then when he does time the snap right, he has the tools to finish those plays, right? Because he yeah. can get there, and he can soften the edge and get around that guy fast enough, and then right, he'll be right there in line with, you know, in phase with the quarterback, and it's a sack. My issue is, I agree that I think he is one of the, and I think you're right that like high floor pass rushers are, you know, they're very likely to go high in the draft, because I mean, if you could just get a ready made guy who is at least going to get you, you know, probably 6 to 9 sacks a year, I mean, almost right away, like that's worth a high pick. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, even if he doesn't get any better than that, which I agree, like I don't know that he will. I don't know where his he has room to grow much more than what he is. But I do agree that like that is still a valuable enough trait that he may go high. Now, what will be interesting is if he falls all the way to Dallas, does Dallas take him over? Like, you know, is the conventional wisdom with Dallas that he's the top defensive end? It'll be interesting to see if they see it maybe more like you, where let's pick the guy that, you know, who could be the better rusher in 2 years or 3 years, as opposed to the guy who's the better rusher right now. All right, and then the third guy on your list, this kind of interests me because when I saw him on the Cowboys visit list, I've always been very skeptical because it just feels like, and we're talking about Taco Charlton, Taco Charlton from Michigan. He just it always to me seemed like he was even before the combine, and we got some of his numbers. To me, it always seemed like he was like a slightly more athletic than normal left defensive end. And I mean, you see him make plays in the Michigan defense, but you know, you also see a lot of other people make plays in that Michigan defense. And a part of me just wonders if they just really have a really good defensive coordinator and maybe not the best personnel, even though they have some guys who can definitely play. I just feel like he is another guy on that defense that's getting pushed up, and I don't know that he is. I just don't see it with him as far as a right defensive end now. What are your thoughts about Taco? Is he only a left defensive end? And is it going to be – do you see Taco as one of those guys who might be a better pro than he was a college player?
This ranking of having Taco third, first of all, he has the exact same grade in my grading scale as Charles Harris, so you can flip both those names.
Okay.
I just decided to put Taco first because it was easier to type at the time.
Yeah. And but, it's a great name, Taco. So
yeah,
Taco's first, Harris later. Makes sense.
It's a great name. And Taco's the kind of guy, he's in that kind of Kevin Dodd, Emmanuel Ogbah, long, big left defensive end role that the Cowboys seem to love every year. But except he's actually kind of athletic, unlike those other two last year. Testing, I think, with the pro day update, he's like in the 56th percentile among edge defenders. And basically what I see him is I just see him as a guy who has a really – who has a high floor, but also a lower ceiling than everybody else. He's the type of guy, I think he's going to be an elite run defender on the edge. I mean, you could see he has the length, he has the body positioning, he knows how to play with leverage, he knows how to get his hands above his face mask. He can shed, he can do all that types of things. I think he's going to be a JPP-esque run defender in the NFL. Now, as a pass rusher, that's where things get a little bit weird. He's not good with his hands. he has the ability to get to an opponent's edge, but he lacks the closing speed and that burst to really get that extra step to get through that edge, to really beat the offensive tackle and get him on your back hip. He really struggles with that. And he is, and his, even the moves he wins with, like his spin move, it still needs a considerable amount of work because he doesn't even set it up that right half the time. He doesn't have the proper footwork half the time. He's very hit and miss with that kind of stuff. But if you can get him to get his hands a little bit more concise, get him a little bit more powerful, and get him a better pass rush plan, I think he has the ability to develop into, you know, maybe a 6 to 8 sack maybe guy a season on the high end, who is a dominant run defender.
You know, it's funny because the guys that you just mentioned are of the ilk of the type of pass rusher that I usually miss on, right? Like I have a hard time with, you know, what'd you say? Yeah, exactly. With those guys, man. And I'll tell you what, another ones, and this is a pretty decent segue, is a lot of these Missouri pass rushers. The Charles Harris, who's the next guy we're going to talk about, is a little bit of a different breed to me, a little bit. At least I see him winning in different ways than some of the previous guys won, like Coney Ealy and, Michael Sam maybe, but I mean, he does Michael Sam things with a better body and, you know, with a counter too. And I just feel like, you know, I've struggled at times with some of the not elite get off guys that are length guys that use leverage. Like, and so that makes more sense that I'm having a hard time with Taco, just because I didn't see it with those other guys either. So maybe it's just a blind spot in my evaluation. But getting back to Charles Harris, you're starting to hear, speaking of those agents chirping, you're starting to hear talk about Charles Harris going in the top 10. And I think Charles Harris is going to be great, and I think he could be a really good fit for what the Cowboys need at the right defensive end position. But man, top 10 talk, that's really, really rich for a guy that I don't really have a great feeling on what his floor is, and his ceiling is good, but I don't know that it's great, because I don't think he has elite athleticism. I think he has enough athleticism to do the job in the NFL, but I don't know, his technique will get better and that he'll get better like that, but I don't know how much better of an athlete he can get to, you know, I don't know how much better an NFL weight room is going to make him. So what are your thoughts on Charles Harris?
He's the type of guy that I do like him for what he is, but I do not like him for what it's going to cost to get him. No, I don't think you can't. For me, a guy who's going to be a top 10, top 15 guy is a guy that has to check almost every box. And especially for an edge defender, you better hope that guy is athletic. And Charles Harris, even with his pro day numbers added in, he only tested into like the 48th percentile or something.
Yeah,
among edge defenders, which is not great for a guy who wins with athleticism in the first place, who wins with a get off. And, you know, even if he had the get off, there are already warts. He doesn't have the best bend. He's kind of like the inverse of Derek Barnett. He's the guy with the get off, but the lack of elite bend, while Barnett is the guy that lacks that elite get off, but has the incredible bend. So, and then just like Barnett, Charles Harris he can be a liability in the run game. You know, he doesn't get his run fits. He jumps in and out of his gaps a lot. He's not very sound technically. So he's just kind of a conundrum, and that's not the type of guy that I want to take in the first round, and that's definitely a guy that I don't want to take in the top 15. So honestly, knowing that he would probably be at the top of the Cowboys board based on just his upfield burst and his really, really good inside spin counter, that I'm glad he's going to be gone in the first 10, 15, 20 picks, because that's the type of guy that I don't want Dallas to use their first-round pick on.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could see Dallas getting good value out of taking him at 28, or thinking that they could get the value out of him at 28. I think that he has more value in Dallas than anywhere else, if that makes sense. Like, I think that what he would do to fit and fix some of the issues with the Cowboys' defensive line may be the best situation for Harris as well, too. And I think that, you know, that, like, just having a guy with his burst never mind all the other stuff, just having a guy with his burst on the right side could kind of help unlock some of the other stuff. But I do agree that generally, like, I don't understand how in a vacuum he's a top 15 or 20 pick. Like, that doesn't because he's not an elite athlete. He doesn't have what we talked about, the Derek Barnett bend. He has, I would say, very good, but maybe not quite elite get off. But I think really the reason that he's even in the discussion at all in the first round is because of, like you said, he has a very good burst, and then when you marry that with a counter, with a spin move, it's a complete working system. So he can at least be a functional, you know, pass rusher probably right away in certain things, with some room to grow there as he learns more. Because here's another guy who's very young at the position. He's only been playing football since, I think, his junior year in high school. So, you know, he might have a little bit of room to grow technical-wise as well. But I don't know, like I said before, I don't know. I mean, since he's such a limited athlete, I don't know that his ceiling is so high. You know, I think it's definitely not that far from his floor. So, it'll be interesting to see how he plays out. If the Cowboys took him at 28, like, I get it. Like, I mean, I wouldn't love it. I would hope that there's definitely be some other situations, but I certainly am not going to throw my remote. I'm going to be so mad about it. Because I see how he fits very easily into what they're doing. I don't know if he gets picked at 28, are you burning all your jerseys and becoming a number one LA Chargers fan? Or you think it's going to be okay? Or what are your thoughts?
I think it'll be okay because, like you said, he's the kind of guy that fits perfectly what we want in our defense. I mean, he's a Rod Marinelli kind of defensive end. Yeah. So, obviously, I wouldn't be happy with it. I would be okay with it, more of a type. It's not something I'm going to be like, yeah, like all jazzed about, but I'm not going to be like super upset about it.
I wouldn't be excited about it, but I would feel, you know, better, a little bit better about our pass rush, you know what I'm saying, which is probably more than I could say about anybody that you're going to be able to take in the second round as a defensive end. So all right, speaking of, the last guy on this list of six was Terrell Basham from Ohio. You know, lots of, again,
you missed the number five.
Oh! I had already assumed that you had so thoroughly trashed Tack McKinley that I had just like I just kind of skipped over because I thought all our audience knew. No, you're right. I did completely skip number five, UCLA defensive end Tack McKinley, the former track star converted into a pass rusher. Yeah, I mean, like, it's funny because, I mean, him and Harris, like, are similar in a lot of ways to me, and I mean, just in the sense that, you know, they're getting off that ball really quickly. Now, what happens after that? Yeah, I don't know, you know. So, I mean, whether, you know, I think, you know, Harris has, like I said, a counter move already built in. I don't know that McKinley's got anything like that already built in. And on top of that, he has similar, you know, bend, I would say maybe even less than Harris. So, you know, what you see with him is you see a lot of effort sacks. You see a lot of, you know, that is one thing you could say about him that is very, you know, Marinelli, is that he is full go all the time. I mean, he's just running constantly. So, like, as far as, you know, backside pursuit stuff goes, or, you know, I mean, you think about the Aaron Rodgers, not that we want to think about it, but the Aaron Rodgers third down conversion on in the playoff game, you know, maybe Tack gets him down on the ground just on pure effort, but I don't know. There's so much, whether it's the shoulder situation, whether it's his lack of technique, of development technique wise, his lack of bend. There are so many positives, wild positives, and then so many wild negatives about him. It's really tough for me to get like a grasp on how I feel about him. So I'm not surprised that you have him ranked this low. I mean, obviously, I'm not surprised because I hear you talk trash about him all the time. But go ahead and take say your piece here and tell the world, tell the people your thoughts on Tack McKinley.
All right. Well, Tack McKinley, a.k.a. that UCLA defensive end that searches his name too much on Twitter.
Oh, my God.
Well, like you said, like what you're getting is you're going to get a guy who's a super linear athlete who plays hard. He's going to play hard every down. Now, that's all well and good, but where do you want to pick that kind of player? Because that's basically all he's got. He's probably the rawest player among those top couple tiers of pass rushers, those top two rounds of pass rushers. He's probably the worst one with his hands. There are plays where he will literally run upfield and his arms will not come above his waist. He's them so low and he literally just runs chest first into a block and gets so confused. There was a couple plays where Garrett Bowles just took him to the wood chipper because Tack forgot how to use his hands. Now, even when he uses his hands are super rigid. They're wild. He doesn't know where he's placing them, where he's throwing. He's more just clubbing and throwing to try to get hands off for no apparent reason. He doesn't have a plan. And even as a run defender, he doesn't use his hands very well. So he's the type of guy who I see. He's a guy who's not bendy. He has no change of direction ability, really. He's super stiff. He has huge problems with his stance, his get-off has problems. Even though his get-off is great, his get-off technically is very poor, which could make you seem like it could be even better when you clean up his deficiencies there. But when you have a pass rusher that doesn't have good footwork approaching the offensive tackle, he doesn't have the hands to beat the offensive tackle, then it's kind of like, I don't want to take that guy at the top. I don't care how high his ceiling is, how much of an explosive threat he is. If he doesn't use his hands, if he doesn't use his feet to set up his rushes, I don't want to touch him in the first two rounds.
Yeah, and with him, it's not like, and maybe I should rephrase, it's not like Harris where he can't bend the corner, but his like lack of flexibility shows up because like he can't, his pad level is too high, and then he can't keep his feet when his pad level gets low. And I think that's part of his issue with his get off too, is because like, you know, a lot of times with these sprinters is that they're working their way out of their stance to get up to sprint. You know, I mean, they do stay low for a good portion, but eventually they get up. Whereas, you know, with the pass rusher, you kind of want them to stay low through the arc so they can bend around and get around the tackle and make the sack. And I just don't know that he has the core strength or whatever it is that's required of him to keep his pad level that low and then still remain upright. And what that means too is that, and this is one thing that we didn't talk about with TJ Watt that I love. You don't get to see it a lot, but when you do get to see it, you see that it's there, and it's a kind of a rare trait. Is even more rare than the ability to bend is the ability to maintain strength, maintain bend through contact, you know, and maintain balance while being engaged by a person who is 70 pounds heavier than you, very strong, and you're, you know, all contorted trying to get around them. It's a special skill, and it takes, you know, a lot of natural core strength to be able to even do that. So McKinley can't seem to stay like up on his, he can't stay on his feet when his pad level is low, and much less when someone engages him like that. So yeah, I think that there's a lot of work there that has to be done for sure. I mean, again, I think that, you know, in a system, like if he went to like Philadelphia or a system that did like more wide nine stuff, I think he would have a lot of success right away. I mean, just because he would, you know, I mean, I think those guys need to use their hands a lot, but I think that he can at the very least help them threaten the edge like that. But when he's lined up like as a normal seven, like I just don't know that he can't, his burst is not enough to compensate for his inability to stay down and then get around the corner. And it's just going to be a lot of work. And then when you combine that with the fact that he's already coming into the season injured, so he's going to miss training camp, which is basically his whole opportunity to get better. It's a lot, like especially for a guy that's, I mean, that you're going to have to spend a first round pick on.
We're totally agreeing.
Oh, good. Maybe we should be arguing more, but I think it's good that there may be a consensus on some of this stuff, at least.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then the guy who I was a little too quick to jump to, Ohio defensive end Terrell Basham. Like I said previously, I've kind of felt like at times that he to me almost kind of falls into that category of what you talked about, of the guys that I really kind of normally miss on. He seems to be a length and leverage guy, but see, the difference is that to me Basham has a little bit, maybe a little bit better explosion on tape, at least, than those guys. I mean, he didn't test out like super elite as far as jumps go. I mean, I think he was something like in the 75th percent for broad jump or something, but his vertical jump was, I remember, was not great. So, I think he, when I first saw him, to me, he looked like a left defensive end, but definitely more of a pass rusher left defensive end, like a could be a good pass rushing left defensive end. And now I'm starting to see, you know, they obviously brought him in. They brought Taco in. So, I mean, I'm not sure if it's just that they're looking at those guys as both left defensive ends, or if Basham is a guy that could play right. But some people that I trust and I listen to seem to think that Basham could play right defensive end as well. So what are your thoughts? Do you think he could play both sides? And, you know, how does he fit, I guess, for what the Cowboys are doing? Versus, like I said, Harris, where he seems kind of a natural fit as right defensive end. Where do you think Basham kind of fits in? And do you think that he's a guy that they could get at 60, or are they going to have to is he a trade back or a trade up from the second round pick? Where do you think Basham is going to be available?
Basham is the kind of guy I like to call him. He's kind of a discount Charles Harris, except I do like him more on the left defensive end side, just because he's a little bit less athletic than Charles Harris is.
Mm-hmm.
But he has the same kind of strengths and advantages that Charles Harris does. He's got a good get off. He's got a good spin, a good counter. You know, he really knows how to threaten that edge, but he lacks that bend to really maximize opportunities that he gives himself. So I think I think he's going to be a very good player against the run. I think he projects better as a left defensive end against the run than Harris does. But I think he has a little bit less of a pass rush potential than a guy like Harris does. So that's basically what I see him as. He's kind of like a discount Harris who I wouldn't want to touch him at 60. I don't think he's that. I don't think he's that good of a talent. I have him currently as like a late third round grade for me.
Okay.
But I understand why they would take him there if he was the last pass rusher on their board at that spot. Kind of like a similar situation to DeMarcus Lawrence was a few years ago.
Yeah. Do you think, like, where do you have I know it's tough with guys like this who are, you know, kind of not inside the first round discussion, but where do you feel like, I mean, I understand you take him in the late third, but where do you feel like his stock is right now?
I feel like his stock is like that.
Like late third?
I feel like his stock is like mid to late second to late third. It's going to be in that area. I feel like he's going to get picked.
Yeah, that seems reasonable. Just for the, you know, the tax of being a pass rusher, you might get pushed up a little bit. So, all right. But before we go, that was your list. It's a good ranking. Obviously you and I see it very similarly. It's interesting to see exactly. It will be interesting to see if they get one of these guys how they're gonna use them and that sort of thing. I wanted to bring up one more name. He's not on the visit list. There has been some talk that maybe he might have worked out for the Cowboys, but I mean, I haven't really gotten that confirmed. But at the very least, we could talk about him, and that's Bowser from the University of Houston. What's interesting about him is that, and he's not in the article, I just wanted to bring up another name. What's interesting about him is we're starting to hear a little bit more about him being used as a pass rusher. He's also one of these guys who seems to be rising, or you start hearing the whispers that he could be a first-round pick or, you know, like that sort of talk. And what's funny is that a lot of the times that I hear national people talk about him, like I think it was Daniel Jeremiah who was talking like, they couldn't stop talking about how well this guy covers as a linebacker, which, you know, okay. Like, I mean, I guess, yeah. I mean, for a guy his size, he's pretty athletic and he's pretty decent at coverage. But I don't know. For me, whenever I watch Houston and I try to watch Bowser, it's infuriating because that defense is infuriating because, you know, they have him doing all this other stuff when I feel like he should be pinning his ears back a little bit. But what are your thoughts on Bowser and everyone seems to talk about, oh, he could be a Sam linebacker who drops down and rushes the passer. And every time I hear that, especially for the Cowboys, I just think, oh, so he's our right defensive end, right? So I don't think the Cowboys would do that as much. I mean, they did with Wilbur just out of necessity, but I tend to think that Bowser, if he were going to come in, would be a full-time right defensive end. They just try to make that work. What are your thoughts on him overall and where he would potentially fit with the Cowboys?
Bowser is the one guy who's like a upper echelon top two-round prospect who I hated watching his film. Not because he's a bad player or I don't think he has great traits. It's just that it's so maddening to watch him drop in the coverage. Yes. It's like twice as bad as watching TJ Watt, which is infuriating enough.
Yeah.
But – you know, he's everything you want from a right defensive end athletically right now. He's an electric athlete. I mean, he was one of the, top three testers at the combine athletically per Spark. Mm-hmm. He's a force player by Justice Mosqueda. He's basically any metric that judges athleticism, he passes with flying colors. So, and he shows that on film. You see an electric get off with him just like you do with TJ Watt. He might even have an even more electric get off. He flashes the ability to have violent hands, but it's much less frequently than Watt. So I think I'm not totally done with his evaluation yet. I still got to do two more games on him. I've done four so far, four full evals on games. But he's trending to be in that kind of right below TJ Watt tier, that late first, maybe even early second type of guy. But, you know, I would totally be okay with him at 28. If I'm going to take a chance on a defensive end at 28 and I know he's not going to produce right away, give me the super athletic guys. Give me the flexible, the fluid, the guys that you can shape into great pass rushers. You know, don't give me the guys like Charles Harris, Taco Charlton, that you know they have limits on what they can do. I want to have the type of guy like Bowser where he has unlimited ability and he already showcases the baseline traits that you need in a pass rusher to at least be somewhat successful in the NFL. He has the get off. He has the knowledge of hand uses, the sharp in the corner, and he has the elite flexibility to really speed and bend around the corner. Now he's a little bit less polished than Watt. You see him enter into his bend on the wrong foot a lot of times. His toes aren't always pointed towards the quarterback. Sometimes he's not patient enough with his hands, and he goes too early. And when the offensive tackle faints, Bowser just totally leaves his chest against the run. He's not going to be a super. He's not going to hold up the point of attack as well as a Watt does. But he's a type of guy that can dart, disrupt into the backfield. Where guys like Barnett, Watt, and then project as they can probably be step in right day one and be like starting caliber players. I think Bowser would be much more. He would be brought along much more how the Cowboys brought along Randy Gregory before he was hurt. He would be a pass rush specialist who plays just the nickel downs, tries to just scream off the edge, get out the passer no matter what.
So you do think that they would try to put him in as a right defensive end right away, though? Like, I mean, what is like a rotational pass rusher or something like that, but they wouldn't try – you don't think they would try him at linebacker?
I think they would have him do exactly what Randy Gregory did.
Okay.
Exactly. Just play on – nickel downs while they're trying to beef him up, try to get him stronger, try to get his hand uses better, hand placement better, his knowledge of leverage better. And then once that happens, maybe year two, year three, put him in at right defensive end on snap number one and let him go.
John, thank you so much for coming and doing this. Guys, if you want to know even more, go to a local library or go to fanragsports.com and check out John Owning's article about this. He goes into a lot more detail about each one of these guys and why he has them ranked where they are. It includes video. It's fantastic. So you guys make sure you check out John's article there. And check out all of John's stuff at FanRagSports. John, thank you so much for coming. I really do appreciate you being on.
Of course, had a ton of fun.
Yeah, always a good time with you.
After the draft, when we can talk about which edge rusher they picked up.
Yes, because I do feel like it is inevitable they're picking at least one. So, guys, make sure that you follow me on Twitter, at McCoolBTB. John, your handle's at John Owning, right?
Yep.
And follow him on Twitter as well, at John Owning. And make sure you guys are checking out FanRagSports.com for all kinds of updates on Cowboys and all the different teams in the NFL and college football and the draft and everything. FanRag Sports is going to have you covered. So until next time, happy trails, everybody.